Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettina, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. My guest today is Eric Cohen, the creative director at the Southampton Playhouse. As you might know, the Playhouse this year, for the first time, because of its existence, an incredible place, is going to be part of the screenings of the Hampton Film Festival. So I wanted to ask you, first of all, tell us a little bit about the history of this Playhouse and what it is today. I understand you have an IMAX theater there among the theaters, which is the only one on Eastern Long Island. And I believe it just opened this spring, I think. Is that correct?
That's right. I mean, the history of the Playhouse, the Southampton Movie Theater, goes back 93-odd years to 1932, when the space first opened. And it's rare in the sense that it was consistently open pretty much all the way through 2020. It was a single-screen movie palace when it first started, so very much attuned to what movie-going in America was like at that particular point in time. And then it became a UA Regal in the early 1980s and operated that way until it closed during the pandemic. So for a lot of generations of people who grew up in Southampton and the surrounding area, this was their movie theater. What happened in the last 2 years was that the property was available and there were a lot of different interested parties. Two very generous families ended up acquiring it and transforming it into a nonprofit, at which point this very fast and dramatic transformation took place inside the theater. So we are now a four screen, and we have, as you said, the only IMAX on the East End of Long Island, really the only IMAX for 50 miles, and then three other screens, one of which has a 35 millimeter projector and an elevated stage for special events and talks and repertory screenings, and then another room that's 150 seats, which is a flex space. So we show new films in there, but we can also remove all the seats and do live performances, workshops, parties, private events. And then, of course, we have our parking lot, which is no small deal out east, of course, and that holds about 140 spots, but we've used it in all kinds of different ways. Over the summer, we had a car show there. We had musical performances there recently. We did a solar viewing. We looked at the sun through a telescope with Hampton's Observatory. So we've been experimenting with a lot of different dynamic ways to engage the community with our space. And I'm excited for the film festival to be coming in soon because we want to be able to support every type of movie-going experience. And the IMAX is very much something that draws people in for the big new movies, and we want to support everything.
I think it's wonderful. So how did it come about? The film festival, which will be out in days as we are recording this, will be going on for 10 days, I believe, or something more even, beginning on October 3rd, I believe. So there'll be like 50 films being shown, mostly in venues in East Hampton and Sag Harbor. Now they've added you.
Yeah.
What are you going to be showing?
Well, I'm really happy that we're supporting the festival this year. The Hamptons Film Festival used the Southampton Movie Theater in its earlier life. And of course, there's a whole bunch of people involved in the festival community who live out there. So I know there's a lot of excitement around the opportunity to take advantage of the programming that's first rate. And that conversation was ongoing. I'm really glad that we got the films that we got because they're very international. There are a lot of discoveries. You'll see films that are the official Oscar submissions for various countries like Sirat, which is the Spanish submission in a really powerful story. There's a film called Arco, which is an amazing animated film produced by Natalie Portman, who I know you've spoken to in the past. And then on our first night, on October 9th, the first night that the festival comes to Southampton, we're actually partnering on a very special event, which is a reflection of the kind of events that we're hoping to host going forward. And that is a special screening of Nosferatu, the silent film from 1922, with live musical accompaniment. The score for the film is a new score written by a band. The band is called The Invincible Czars, and they're on tour doing live scores for a range of different silent films. And this is a really, really unique opportunity because it's a very modern score, but the film, of course, comes from another era. And we really want to support this kind of conversation between the past and present of this particular art form. And I'm really grateful that the Hamptons Film Festival is letting us do this. It's also a way for us to launch our horror programming throughout the month of October with Halloween coming up. So we're trying to fire on all cylinders while everyone's coming in for the festival.
Tell me how the particular film collaboration is, the name of it. What does that name mean?
Well, Nosferatu was, I mean, there have been various adaptations of that story. It's essentially a loose adaptation of Dracula, Bram Stoker's Dracula. But when the film was made in Germany, the height of German expressionism in the early days of the silent film, they couldn't get the rights to the book. So they came up with a different name, but it's a loose adaptation of Dracula and one that has kind of come into its own as a very unique interpretation of that myth. In fact, there have been multiple remakes of it, including one just that came out last year that was quite strong, I thought. But the original really captures a kind of haunting, powerful storytelling from an era in which sound wasn't part of storytelling for movies. So you had to rely on faces and images. And it's just an extraordinary gothic horror masterpiece with this score that is, it has a little bit of heavy metal, it has a lot of drums and keyboards. It forces you to see these movies in a modern light, which I think is really important because oftentimes there is this bias against films from a long time ago or from before you were born that they might seem like they're somehow foreign or less accessible. And we really want to break those barriers down.
Will that be in the IMAX theater, I presume?
No, that will be in Theater 4, actually, because Theater 4 is a really great space for us in terms of live performance. It allows us to move some chairs around to make space for a band and that sort of a thing. In our IMAX, we've always got some of the biggest new releases. So right now we have the new Leonardo DiCaprio movie, One Battle After Another. Upcoming is The Smashing Machine, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And these are major fall titles. So if you come to the theater during the Hamptons Film Festival, you can also take advantage of the IMAX screen and see some of the biggest new releases. It's going to be a really busy movie season. So we're ready for a lot of different crowds.
When did the theater first open?
Well, we opened in February at about 50% capacity. We opened two of our screens, our IMAX screen and one of the other screens that's a 90-seat venue, just so that we could kind of get our feet on the ground and get our operations going. And that was sort of a gradual build up to the summer. We kicked off the summer with our fundraising gala over Memorial Day weekend. We showed Jaws and IMAX, which was extraordinary. And then it was off to the races in the summer. It was just incredibly busy and really satisfying to see so many different kinds of audiences, so many different stories, hearing from people who, you know, went on their first date to the theater or worked at the theater in a really interesting moment in time. We have a gentleman named Joe Lavinio who worked there in 1954 and remembers watching Ben-Hur as a teenager there. So really trying to kind of build on the communal history around the theater to inform the sort of programming we're doing now.
Tell me a little bit about your background and now what is your, did I have your title correct?
Yeah, I'm the artistic director of the theater, and my history is, it's been a bit of a winding path. I was a critic and a journalist for a publication called IndieWire, which is a sort of trade publication that covers film from an independent perspective. So I spent a lot of time going to film festivals like the Sundance Film Festival, the Cannes Film Festival, and studying film from an international standpoint and how the entire ecosystem around film kind of fits together. And then after that, I produced movies for a while. A filmmaker named Harmony Korine, actually have a film I produced with him that's playing festivals now, and spent a lot of time looking at the production side of things. So getting brought into this was another stage in that journey to go from kind of the macro of seeing all these different films to the micro of getting them made. now I'm involved in helping them get seen. So it really feels like it's been a journey to understand the full equation of what it takes for these kinds of works to get out there in the world.
What is your background? Where were you born and raised?
I'm a third generation Houstonian. My dad and his side of the family are all from Colombia, South America, and my mother's family has been in Houston for several generations. So Texas and Colombia was a unique mix in our household. But I was born in Houston because my father had a job at NASA. He was an engineer working on the space shuttle. So actually, we recently did this series at the Playhouse of space movies. It was very much informed by the enthusiasm I was surrounded by from my childhood, but I ended up studying film studies at NYU and getting really excited by the idea of everything but making movies. So it's kind of funny, I do get involved in production now, but for a long time, my enthusiasm was the advocacy for movies. And I spent a lot of my teen years in Seattle, Washington, because after NASA, my father worked at Boeing, which prior to Amazon, that was the big draw of Seattle. And growing up in Seattle, when I did was great because there were so many wonderful independent theaters there. There are fewer now, but there are still some good ones. And the repertory scene was really strong. There wasn't an industry presence, but I really appreciated theaters that were well curated because it helped me understand film history on the big screen. And the truth is, nowadays, I'm excited that younger audiences have access to watching so many different things on streaming, but there's nothing like seeing a movie on a big screen, especially an older film that was envisioned that way. So a lot of the programming that I'm doing is informed by that experience.
Well, you went off to a film school. Where was
I
that?
studied film studies at NYU at this cinema studies department at NYU, and I actually maintain a relationship there. I'm an adjunct faculty there. I teach film criticism. I've taught classes on festivals and distribution. I studied film primarily from a historical and theoretical standpoint, and that was sort of my on-ramp to criticism.
How did they find you?
The Playhouse?
Yes.
The thing that I love about the work that we do is no matter where you are in the world, it's a small community. And so everybody knows everybody or is constantly introducing different people to different folks who they should talk to solve problems. And I was introduced to someone on our board through a mutual connection, primarily just because I've spent a lot of time looking at the state of exhibition and the challenges of getting movies in front of audiences and the need for theaters to really transform into something new to survive in the 21st century. And so it was really more of a kind of an advisory capacity that I started this relationship and then ultimately realized what an amazing opportunity it was to build something in this community. And so I ended up being the first employee of the Southampton Playhouse last December before we'd opened our doors. And then our executive director, Maria Ruiz Botsikas, came along a few weeks after that. And, you know, in a way, we're still kind of starting our engines and figuring out what the audiences out here really want and the different ways that we can build new audiences. But it's been a really wonderful adventure so far.
Do you have any new ideas for the coming year?
So many ideas. I mean, the summer was a lot of experimentation and seeing what worked, what didn't work. And I was really heartened to see that audiences were excited by anything outside the box. So, for example, when we did a car show, when the F1 opened, the Brad Pitt race car movie, people wanted more of that. So we started doing a series called Cars, Coffee, Cinema, which we'll definitely keep doing, where on Sunday mornings, anyone could bring their car, that we'd have free coffee. Sometimes we would show a car movie. And then we did a series of fast car movies. So the kind of experience outside the theater transitioned into the experience of the programming itself. That's one of many different examples that were really exciting for me. In the month ahead, in October, we're looking to engage the horror crowd more because I really believe that horror is an important genre for audiences that like to take risks. So I mentioned the Nosferatu screening we're doing with the Hamptons Film Festival. We're also screening the movie Scream with the producer, Carrie Woods, who's going to join us. And probably the event that I'm personally most excited about, we're showing Dracula from 1931 in Spanish. This is a Spanish language edition of the movie that was shot on the exact same sets as the English language one to appeal to the Mexican audiences that were seen by Hollywood at the time as a very significant one. And that is in part, you know, on a continuum with our ongoing relationship with Ola and our desire to build material that will appeal to Spanish-speaking audiences in the area. So we will be joined by Paul and Chris Weitz for that screening. Paul and Chris Weitz are filmmakers known probably best as Hollywood screenwriters and directors for the American Pie comedy, for About a Boy. But their grandmother was this Mexican actress, Lupita Tovar, who starred in this Dracula movie. So it's an amazing way to, again, create this dialogue between the past and present of cinema. And I think that's just going to be a really special event for us. And I'd also like to plug that we're doing a special screening of Psycho. Psycho is, of course, one of the great horror movies of all time. It's the first Hitchcock movie we're showing, and I'm sure it won't be the last. There is a new book coming out written by Larry Maslin, who does his Broadway to Main Street show. The book is called Hitchcock Tales, which is all cocktails inspired by Alfred Hitchcock movies. So we're going to show Psycho at the Playhouse and have a special cocktail event tied to that. And that's all in October. In November, we're going to transition into celebrating films that were shot in the area all across the East End. We're going to showcase short films that are more recent and made by filmmakers who are up and coming. But we're also going to do a special 50th anniversary celebration of Grey Gardens. So I'm trying to make sure that there's always different avenues of access for audiences in the area. If your thing is classic films, we have those. If you want to see something more contemporary, we have those. If you want a discovery, we'll have that. And if you want the biggest movies out right now with the biggest movie stars, we're definitely going to have that. So that's kind of the logic in play.
Anything with Jaws? I know you did something, but no.
The thing that I really was gratified about with Jaws was that we got incredible crowds when it came out for a week in IMAX. And the IMAX edition of that movie is like seeing it fresh all over again. I mean, this is a floor-to-ceiling screen with remastered audio and visuals. But we did this amazing thing with SOFO, with the Natural History Museum, where they brought out their Shark Shack. This is like a table it's a mobile setup that they have where they bring out shark fossils and the tags that they use to tag all these different species of sharks off Long Island. And so as these sold out crowds were coming in and people were dressing up as sharks to go see the movie and all that kind of stuff in the lobby, they were stopping by and getting a chance to learn more about what a complex region this is for sharks, you know, that we have a true great white shark nursery off the coast of Long Island is really quite something. So my hope is that even though 2026 won't be the 50th anniversary of Jaws the way this is, we'll keep the Jaws hysteria going, because that movie just holds up so well, and the legacy in the area, of course, is amazing. And it's a wonderful sort of conduit to talking about the truth of shark conservation. We want to look at the sciences as part of the experience of the Playhouse as well. When the new Jurassic Park movie opened, Jurassic World, we had paleontologists come from Stony Brook with real dinosaur fossils. So it was a similar kind of thing. We had a lot of people show up before the movie to hold these skeleton and guess what kind of animals they were. And then we talked about truth and fiction and dinosaur depiction at the movies. And so I really want to make sure that everything that happens at the Playhouse is a platform for something more than just the movies themselves. That's really what our desire is to be a community hub.
Do you have any plans for Thanksgiving or Christmas yet?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so around Thanksgiving, of course, it's a Christmas tree lighting in Southampton, and we're going to do a special screening of Elf around that, which I'm really happy about, because that's a super fun holiday movie, and it's both family friendly, and it's just a really great comedy. So I'm excited for that. And then other things are brewing for the holidays. It's a little early for me to talk about it, but we've got some big plans with a lot of different local partners.
Well, I want to congratulate you on what you've done so far. It's just amazing. And I want to thank you for being on the podcast and telling everyone about it.
Thank you, Dana. It's an honor to be on this podcast. I love your work, and I appreciate all the support that Dan's Papers has given us in these early days.
Well, thank you. I'll be in touch with you. I'll keep this going. Bye-bye.
Yeah, please. Come by soon.